Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
It's Jeremy White.
Spring in general is the Sabres' full season.
And Joe DiBiase.
But what do you do with that? How do you play off Italian Stallion? You're not putting horse meat on it, are you? Oh, look at this. Looks like, are we out of it? It's sunny. No, it's not. It's not nice anymore. You're going to lose a couple games. Oh, okay. This weather is the worst ever. We'll never get out of it. Actually, it's sunny 2 days later. I did not encourage putting horse meat on this hot dog. Just want everyone to make that clear.
Call, text, or tweet Jeremy and Joe now at 803-0550 and get connected on WGR Sports Radio 550.
Heyo! Hi, Joe. Hey, Josh.
Morning.
What's up, fellas?
Big night.
A little bit of rain tonight.
Big night.
Rain today. Why? What's tonight?
Look at these Denver Nuggets up here. On to the next round.
Okay.
Again.
And LeBron's going to Cleveland?
Is that out there?
Huh?
I thought LeBron's just going to play wherever his son gets drafted, which is why the debate will rage on the debate shows this summer of where do you pick Bronny James if LeBron
comes
with him? First?
Yeah, I don't know about that. All right, that's cool. You got that going tonight.
You're going to have to like the NBA because the NHL playoffs are going to have like a week off because all these series are about to end.
Yeah.
Right?
I saw Travis Yost tweet something about that the NHL really needs a couple teams that are going to lose to win. Florida did not.
No.
They did not lose, rather.
So that series is over.
That series is over. The Rangers and the Capitals. I mean, like, you've got series wrapping up. At least you had Vegas and Dallas. That's 2-2 now.
Yeah. If you have, so this would be a lot to happen. I could parlay this. It'd probably be long odds. But tonight, if Boston, Carolina, Colorado, and Vancouver all win tonight.
They all end?
They all end. Right. And we could be looking at Dallas and Vegas at 2-2 as the only series going for like a week.
Yeah.
If not like a week and a half.
That's pretty wild. All right.
That's probably not likely to happen to get all four of those results tonight, but hey, you never know.
Yeah,
you know, I don't want that to happen because then you're just going every other night and there's one hockey game. That would be a very bad thing.
I watched a little of Florida and Tampa last night, which I felt like Florida from the start of game one is a much better team, and they took them out in five games.
Yep.
And I was there for Evan Rodriguez's goal. Mm-hmm. I was there to see Oposo dressed last night.
I saw. Did he do anything?
He was in the handshake line.
Well, he did that.
I did see him in the handshake line. I'm not taking a shot at him when I say it is the only place I saw him was the handshake line. I mean, they won that game 6-1 with two empty netters late.
Yep.
Evan Rodriguez scored. Got a chance to see that one. Florida's on to the next round and will play the winner of the Boston-Toronto series. So, you know, maybe Reinhart, Montour, Oposo.
Rodriguez.
It's
just a team of former Sabres.
Four guys.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Anyway, good morning, everybody. It's Tuesday, and it's going to be cloudy, kind of nice. Yesterday was beautiful.
Yes.
Guess what I did yesterday? One of the best things you can do in the world on a day like yesterday. I got a chance to use a pressure washer.
Nice.
Yes.
Very satisfying, the pressure washer.
The best.
Yeah.
You ever played Pressure Washer Simulator?
I have not. I do know that it exists.
It's fantastic.
Yeah?
It's just like when you're in the middle of winter and you're like, you know what? I'd like to pressure wash right now.
And you do it.
You just do it. Yep. It's so satisfying.
But PlayStation or what?
Yeah, any of the major consoles. You can get it on PC too, probably. It's pretty good. It's fun.
Goat Simulator is another one. What's with all these simulators?
Lawn mowing simulator.
Farm simulator.
What's Goat Simulator? Like you?
That
you
one's
just
weird.
Tend to goats, I think.
Oh, no.
You are a goat.
You are a goat.
You are a goat.
It's weird. It's not like the other ones.
All right.
But lawn mowing simulator and pressure washing simulator, those are good.
Satisfying.
Ones.
But you did a real.
Real pressure washer. Yeah, you know, it's nice out, getting stuff out of the garage, cleaning stuff out, have the kids' water table thing that's got a little bit of mold on it, just blast it right out of there.
Nice.
The moment that first line of the pressurized water goes, psst, and it's just completely clear.
Yeah.
Man, what a feeling.
Did you get done with whatever you were intent on pressure washing and then look around like, what else can I 100%. What else can I pressure wash here?
100%.
Yeah.
Yep.
The car, you're probably not supposed to do.
The driveway. Last year, a couple years ago, I did that.
The driveway, that's what I did.
I wrote Go Bills in the driveway because, you know, why not?
Right.
Pressure washer. What's better? What's better? So, yeah, did that yesterday. I cut down a tree.
Was it warm enough for that? Because you do get...
High of 7. Yesterday, it went to 77.
All right, then... Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah. Yesterday was a high of 77.
So you've been okay, because you do get the water splashing a little bit.
Yep. Was not a factor.
All right.
I was shorts and t-shirt. I wore shorts today.
I also wore shorts
and
today.
And I realized that was probably like an aftershock decision, because it's not going to be that warm today. It's going to be 63, but also rain.
I thought it was going to be 70 again.
No, 63 and rain.
What am I thinking of? Friday's going to be the hot day? Is that what I'm thinking of? Yeah, Friday's going to be the hot day, like 80 degrees on Friday.
Nice.
Well, we had the windows open all day yesterday. It felt like a summer day.
It was really nice. Yeah. Felt like such a summer day that we left windows in the house open, and when I came downstairs this morning, it was freezing. It's like 50 degrees in the house.
Yes.
I go, well, maybe not that bold, maybe not yet. So anyway, good morning, everybody. Thanks for hanging out. We're going to talk to Lindy Ruff at 8.
Surreal.
Sabres head coach Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock this morning.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Yeah, first time on this show in 13 years. No, 11 years.
Yeah.
11 years. Would you remember that?
What? Like, remember having him on?
No, like the last time you would have...
No, not the last time.
Okay.
I can remember times over the years. I can remember asking if he feels like, you know, do you feel like you're safe in your job when it started to get tense?
Uh-huh.
I can remember the questions, Howard asking him, is your team tough enough right after the Lucic incident?
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, all that stuff. Yeah. He was the coach of the team during the Lucic incident, which is really the fork in the road when the organization decided to focus on the wrong things.
Yeah, they signed John Scott and traded for Steve Ott like pretty quickly after that. Yeah, that was a few weeks, right, to a month.
Yep.
When was that second game? It was the middle period before.
It was definitely weeks later.
Weeks later.
I want to say it was weeks later.
Gost had fought Lucic right at the start, and it felt forced.
Yep.
Yeah, that wasn't a great time.
No, it wasn't. Boston's been good every year since.
they've never been bad since.
It's not always because they hit people, but that's part of it.
Yeah, they just stole the soul of the Sabres franchise forever.
Yeah. Well, Lindy's got to get it back. So Lindy's coming up at 8 o'clock, and we'll take your calls throughout, have a little fun today, keep it real, whatever. We've got a lot of stuff on Keon Coleman. If you missed yesterday, Greg Cosell had some interesting things to say about Keon Coleman and Quintez Cephas, for that matter. Both of them.
Oh, we got some Quintez Cephas hype?
Not quite hype, but...
Not hype? Did you know he's, like, really slow?
And big.
Is he even big?
He
ran a 4.73.
Yeah.
You think Coleman at 4.61 was slow at the combine. 4.73 was Cephas.
6'1", 210. I mean, not monster, but that's a larger.
Yeah, he's fine. He's big.
He's bigger than, not Coleman, but a couple of the other guys. Nate Tice had a tweet about the Bills saying that the Bills have let me find the exact tweet, that the Bills are basically bringing back ball winners. They're going back to...
Yeah, well, I'm acting like that's new. Like, we've seen it happen slowly here, haven't we?
Yeah. Nate Tice, Bills said ball winners are back on the menu.
Didn't they learn their lesson? Didn't they try that when Allen first got here?
With Calvin Benjamin?
And Andre Holmes, and like they had big targets, didn't they? And no one got open, and then they realized, oh, this is dumb. We should go get smaller guys that get open all the time. And then they had the greatest 4 years that we've ever seen.
That's right. That's right. Well, Coleman, it's, I mean, Coleman is, I love talking about Coleman because you could almost say he's a unicorn, not in the way that we say, like, McDavid's a unicorn, but in that he's actually legitimately very
unique.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't want to say very unique.
There's not like a perfect comp.
No.
Not like you'll find good comps, but no one that fits like every element here where, oh, he's big and does great against contested catches and he's not that fast.
But his hands are amazing and he's great in traffic.
And he makes people miss, right? Like that and run through you. But, oh, and he's good against zone. Okay. But he's not good against man. And he's terrible. Like just. All of those factors together, you can't really find a guy.
Yeah, he's one of one. And a lot of times we use that phrase to describe somebody like Justin Jefferson is one of one.
Right.
But sometimes other guys that are unproven can just be the one of one. I'm thinking about what was that, the Bills defensive tackle they drafted who was 400 pounds, like Michael Jasper or something.
Michael Jasper.
Right? How do you like that? That guy was one of one and didn't make it, but he was, wow, look at this guy. He's a lot different than whoever it might be. You might feel that way about Xavier Worthy is one of one. Nobody's ever been that fast. Doesn't mean he's going to be good. It's going to play out, but, you know, the comps maybe aren't easy to find. So yesterday watching a lot of the breakdown of Keon Coleman, it is kind of funny how we, for better or for worse, a lot of people out there look at the draft. They spend, you know, we all spend months and months and months looking forward to it, mocking receivers, dreaming of this receiver and that defensive back and this linebacker and this seat. And then it happens, and the conclusions that are drawn from it probably, can we all admit here, they probably all go way too far. Because I've seen that the Bills adding who they've added, Quintez Cephas and Keon Coleman and Curtis Samuel.
Matt Collins.
These guys have low drop rates.
Yeah.
One individual I saw, a takeaway was, and I'm not mentioning them, I just forgot who it was, that it's the Bills' reaction to the drops in the playoff game.
Right.
And I think, boy, that is just such a massive leap.
Two drops at the end.
Two drops at the end.
Reacting to how your season ended.
Right, right. Which is something that Bean, by the way, has said, when you lose, you see what your weakness is. When did we think the drops were the Bills' weakness? You know, like, we didn't. So I don't necessarily think that they overreacted to the drop in a playoff game by Trent Sherfield and Diggs and decided, well, we need guys that don't drop the ball. I mean, receivers drop the ball. It's going to happen. You'd like it not to happen. You'd like guys that are more sure-handed than others. But the idea they would overhaul their outside receivers to be ball winners that don't drop it, to me, looks like a pretty big overreaction if that's, in fact, what did happen. It's also worth mentioning, what do we know about the Bills and Keon Coleman? We know that they liked him more than Worthy and more than Leggett. And more than Ricky Pearsall.
Do we know that, or do we know that they just liked him maybe the same? Like, are we assuming if they sat at 28, they would have picked Keon Coleman?
Yes.
Or at 32, they would have picked Keon Coleman?
Yes. Yes, I don't think they would have traded down.
Because there were, especially at 28, there were, was it three or four receivers that went off the board, some by half by their own choosing, I know, between where they were at 28 and where they were. You know, like, were they going to pick Ricky Pearsall and said, well, we have five of these guys the same, so we'll move back because we don't care. We know we're going to get one of them.
I don't know. We never get to see these boards. I think we overestimate a lot of these guys are the same. I mean, Keon Coleman is not the same as Xavier Worthy.
They're extremely different.
Right. So if they had them with the same grade, the Bills know the type of receiver they want there. And maybe Leggett is closer because he's a bigger guy. But
Pearsall's the one with the highlight reel catches.
That's right. But if they wanted Keon Coleman, he's different in a lot of ways than those other guys. So I think we know that they had Coleman at worst fifth on their board. And maybe higher. But at worst, it's fifth because four receivers go. then they trade down. And they don't want Worthy. They watch Pearsall go. They watch Leggett go. Then they get an offer, and they say, no thanks, and they stay put. And Ladd McConkey goes next. We know they liked him more than Ladd McConkey.
Mm-hmm.
So knowing that they like Coleman, at worst, the fifth guy off the board, that kind of shapes a lot of the conversation now about their offseason. It's almost like in the draft, we do this all the time. We talk about the guy you took was the plan all along. And I wonder how much that's true about Coleman for these Bills. Because Quintez Cephas and Coleman, and if they keep getting bigger bodies, Mac Hollins here too.
He's big.
If they keep going big on the outside, then I think I've got every reason to believe that Coleman would have been, you know, fifth at worst, maybe higher. Maybe they like him more than the idea of a Brian Thomas. Maybe. Fifth overall of the receivers. We know that much.
Uh-huh.
And where does that get you? Greg Cosell, we'll play highlights of Greg Cosell, who was on with One Bills Live yesterday, talking about Coleman. And it's funny because it's just going to be such a callback for Bills fans. It's going to be a callback to Allen, where there are traits to like, but you've got to unlock some stuff. That was a phrase that Greg Cosell used a bunch, was there's a lot to unlock here.
Mm-hmm.
And he said when he watched Coleman, at times he was impressed and at times he was not. And he doesn't really know what to think of it because there's a player in there that's good. The question is, how does he succeed? And trying to figure out exactly how they use him is an exercise in trying to figure out what Joe Brady's offense looks like. It's almost like we spend 3 months, Joe, mocking the draft, and then we get the draft. Should we spend 3 months mocking the offense? Like, what is it actually going to look like? They drafted a running back to add in there. They drafted multiple linemen to make sure they're deeper. They switch their center. They get bigger at receiver. They let their elite ball separator leave, and they do not replace him.
Right.
If they wanted to replace Diggs, the answer could have been Ladd McConkey right there at 33. He was the best separator in the class, one of them. Best separator.
Right.
And that would have been an easy, all right, well, there's your replacement for Diggs. Hopefully Ladd McConkey can turn into something nice. Already, McConkey, I'm seeing in the fantasy community, is being mocked ahead of Coleman as primary target. And that's, again, that's about like where you are in the target hierarchy. But Coleman is a bit down behind Kincaid and maybe Shakir. And Ladd McConkey is their, what, number one target right away. So fantasy doesn't tell the whole story. But McConkey would have been your Diggs replacement in finger quotes. And instead, they go with their, I mean, kind of a Gabe replacement, but still different in a way.
But he's going to do all the Gabe stuff. Who, like, in their offense, like, trying to figure out who it is, who's running the Diggs routes? Because
Maybe those routes are getting run.
Someone is playing that Z spot where you're running at all levels of the field. Someone else is going to line up there.
Yeah, Curtis Samuel and Mac Hollins, I guess, is your answer.
Yeah, like I think I'm wondering, they might not, they're not going to expect the same role. But think about how Brady used Diggs at the end of the year. It wasn't just the stuff that Diggs normally did. It was shorter routes. It was getting the ball in his hands at the line of scrimmage. Like, to me, Brady tried to use Diggs in a certain way at the end of the year, and it didn't work. Almost trying to force the ball into his hands when Diggs has always been a receiver where, hey, you don't have to force the ball to me. Like, I'm going to get open on my own. I'm a technician. I'm going to get open here. You don't have to force me the ball. But that's how they were using him at the end of last year. So, and beyond that, before Brady took over, Diggs is, again, you don't know what he's going to run. You don't know if he's going to run vertical here. You don't know if he's going to run a quick out. You don't know if he's going to run somewhere in the intermediate. He can do all of the routes. And who on the team right now is capable of doing that? Like, I think it's going to be Samuel. I don't think it's going to be the same impact, but why don't they want Ladd McConkey? Because I think they might think that Curtis Samuel's their Ladd McConkey. That he's going to play the Diggs snaps. He's going to play the Diggs routes. He's going to get the ball in his hands at the line like Brady tried to do with Diggs. And we've already got our Diggs. At least for the time being, it's going to be Curtis Samuel. So I'm thinking he's a huge part of this offense because I don't see anybody else that even has close to the profile to do any of the things that Diggs did. Right? Shakir's not doing it from that spot. Coleman is certainly not doing it. He's not the profile for that. Even Hollins is closer to Gabe Davis from what I know about him, and that he's big and runs a lot of his routes more vertically, like just kind of stretching the field. So who else on the team has the profile like Shakir, like Samuel, where you might have faith he can move out to the outside and do some of the things that Diggs did? He is it.
Yeah,
for that stuff.
He can beat man. I mean, he's got good numbers against man and against press. Like, good enough, I should say. Like, where we lived, it is funny, the rewriting of, you know, you're mad at Diggs, so you're not allowed to say nice things about him. But Stephon Diggs spent his entire career here as one of the best man beaters in the NFL. One of, like, the four best.
Yeah.
And anybody else that they want to do that now is going to win those battles consistently less than Diggs did. Now, you know, the design of the offense might be entirely different, so we'll see how that ultimately goes. But Samuel, Cephas, I don't know if Cephas is a camp body, or should I really think he could make this team? I mean, he might
maybe.
Be a camp body.
I mean, one of what? Him, KJ Hamler, and should I even throw like Isabella in
Tyrell
there?
Tyrell Shavers and Justin Shorter. Michael Gallup signed yesterday, 1 year, $3 million with the Raiders.
Yep.
Which is probably too rich for the Bills' blood. $3 million? They don't have a lot of room.
No.
There still is the possibility of a move post June 1. I don't know how likely it is. Bean said it's not coming. It would, of course, change how a lot of people that are nervous about the receivers and the weapons, it would change the entire conversation. They're good at tight end. There's no doubt about that. They're good over the middle of the field. I don't think there's any doubt about that. Shakir, we are counting on him to be a focal point in this offense. Curtis Samuel wins in those same spots. It's going to remain the outside. Coleman, Mac Hollins, yep. Cephas, like whichever guys out there, they think they can win without speed. And that's fine. Like the number of people yesterday that I saw wrote to me or arguing back and forth about it on you don't have to be fast to be good. And that is definitely true. You don't have to be fast to be good. But you generally have to separate. And that's where the Greg Cosell conversation about there's a lot to unlock here. He even went so far, Joe, as to say he's loose in the way he operates. He meant that in a good way. If I'm using scouting language here, like he's fluid. He might be able to refine his skill set and give the Bills more than he's shown he can give right now. 803-0550. We'll get Jay in Rochester in before the break. Jay, good morning.
Yeah, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call, man. I'm sorry, dude, but I really think Bean has literally destroyed this team in the last 2 years, if you look at it. I mean, there doesn't seem to be any plan to replace Diggs. I mean, you get rid of your number one receiver, you go out, and you basically get a big possession receiver. Unless he trades for Ayuk, this team is going to take a gigantic step back offensively. And then when is it a matter of time before Josh Allen is fed up with this? I mean, I also see that this has McDermott written all over it. Seems to be Diggs challenged McDermott, didn't get along with the coach. He's gone. So what do? We go to a ball control offense. The guy drafts a backup safety in the second round when we need wide receivers. The guy goes out and drafts a running back when we need wide receivers. I mean, this is almost insanity. I mean, the only saving grace, maybe, is that can Coleman be like Marquise Colston? Now, that's a gigantic stretch, but the reason why I'm saying it is he's a big receiver, and play for Sean Payton, which is what I believe Joe Brady comes from, the Payton tree. But keep in mind also, Colston played in the slot. He's not an X. So what is the philosophy of this offense, and what are we doing?
Yeah.
Doesn't seem like anybody knows.
Yeah. Colston's actually not a bad comp, I feel like,
yeah,
for Coleman on some of these levels. The one thing I want to pick out there about McDermott like kind of taking over and putting his blueprint, his stamp on the offense, which – what is everyone thinking when I say that? Running the ball? Even though he has said previously that I learned under Andy Reid, whatever, like I believe in throwing to win, and this team has been like the past happiest offense in the league up until for 4 years until the second half of last year where they were middle of the pack. So one thing I would want to say in defense of McDermott on that front, sure, they got rid of Diggs. They let Davis walk. They haven't done a lot at receiver. I can understand why you would get to, well, they're going to run the, they're going to be this run-heavy offense. Maybe they'll be more run-heavy than they were, but what did they do at running back? They won 1 fourth-round pick. That's all they've done at the position this offseason. They let veterans like Latavius Murray walk, and they've replaced all of him with 1 fourth-round pick. They didn't sign Derrick Henry. They didn't sign Saquon Barkley. There was a ton of money passed around in free agency at running back this offseason.
They didn't have any.
But running backs are cheap. You can get a running back for a couple of million bucks. But they didn't prioritize that over other positions, right? They didn't do that instead of Curtis Samuel. They didn't do that instead of someone on the defense that they ended up signing.
Did you see the mock draft that I retweeted yesterday that has the Bills taking a running back in the first round of the 2025 mock draft?
Okay, we're doing this already?
We're back, baby.
Come on.
We are back. Being mocked running backs. Won't be ready.
But like they're going to be ground and pound. With who? We think James Cook is going to be that guy?
Well, there's a long road between what they have been and ground and pound. And every step towards ground and pound, you know, makes them, what, the Bengals before they hit their stride and went to the Super Bowl? I mean, the Bengals were a team that ran it probably too much. The Ravens ran it a lot. Are they ground and pound? This year they became a team that threw it more, even though they had a running identity. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Jay, I don't necessarily disagree with what you say. How you laid it out is the worst way to lay it out, and it's not unfair to do it. We just have to kind of wait to see. That's where it all hinges on Joe Brady here. Like, what happens with this offense, and what does Joe Brady's offense look like? We'll get some from Greg Cosell on that. He was on with One Bills Live yesterday. 803-0550, our phone number to chat with us about this this Bills offense. What's this team's floor? Think about that for a minute. What's the floor for this team in transition? Those are Brandon Bede's words. Team in transition. Losing all those leaders, losing some elite talents. What's the floor? 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe, your calls. Lindy at 8. Plenty to get through this Tuesday morning on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We get it.
Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
When you get down there, you want to make sure you're getting, you know, 6-7 instead of kicking field goals. And so this gives us another guy for that Josh can trust, even if he is covered, to throw him a ball, whether it's back shoulder, whether it's, you know, a fade in the back of the end zone. You know, there are, if you look at his tape, you'll see all of those throws at some point. And, you know, he makes his fair share. I think there's even a couple he probably would have wanted to make this year that he didn't. But if you look even back to Michigan State, he's a natural play above the rim basketball type player.
Brandon Bean on Keon Coleman. Tall ball. Start calling it tall ball. Now, maybe Coleman becomes one of the few receivers in the league where throwing fade patterns is worth it. Generally, it is not worth it.
Correct.
But Coleman might be one of the few. There are some where that's a good idea. There have been, historically, some that have been a good idea.
Yeah, is right now Shakir their only receiver who's sub-6 foot, or is even sub-6 foot? Because Samuel's not, I don't believe. And like all their up, like Hollins is tall and Justin Shorter is tall.
He's listed at 6 foot, Shakir.
So they don't have a single receiver under 6, which is fine, unless KJ Hamler or somebody like that is. But yeah, they're going to be very big and not very fast.
Can I have some place that lists my height instead of actual? Can I be listed at 6 foot?
I think that's what your license is for.
Yeah, but your license, they don't list you like. A football team lists these guys at heights and weights that they sometimes are not.
Uh-huh.
Right? Like, oh, he's listed as 6'2", goes to the combine, he's 6'1".
You could massage that on your license, can't you?
I don't know.
Can't you, do you just tell them, or do they don't measure you, do they?
I think they measure you.
They measure you?
I don't know.
They don't just ask what your height is? I can't just tell them I'm 6'1".
Yeah.
Like, and then they put that on there?
I'm just a shade under 6 foot. I want to list at 6'1". Let's do it. 6'1".
Well, there's no one in the world that's 5'11".
That's right.
No one in the world is 5'11".
That's right.
It's a proven fact.
803-0550.
You want like sports radio reference where we go and click on Jeremy White's
Google
page?
It, and it's like, oh, he's 6'4", 230.
Right.
This guy's built like he's a
linebacker.
He's a monster.
Right. Hamler's 5'9", by the way, so he's one of their smaller guys.
Okay.
And maybe their only guy that's like being seen as like, well, speed is his thing. Hamler ran a 4.27 at the combine and was a second round pick, and then he had injury problems. So I'm like praying he's going to be something.
KJ Hamler?
That's where I'm at. Crossing my fingers, can KJ Hamler give me anything? Guy they picked up off the street because he was once a good prospect, and I feel like he's the only guy they have like that. Who else do they have that is smaller? I don't need him to be smaller, but who else has 4.27 speed once upon a time? That's it. There's no one else on the team where, like, they're, well, Isabella, I guess, which is funny enough. The guy I also fell in love with at camp last year and then didn't do anything. Maybe Hamler can be different. I don't know.
803-0550. It's more calls in here on Keon Coleman, what it means for the Bills, whether you really do think another move is coming. I don't. I think they are what they are right now, and that, you know, the addition of, boy, anybody out there on the market, whoever it is.
Well, let me ask you. They have right now, I just looked at Spotrac, they have $3.6 million on their salary cap right now. They have $3.6 million, and they're going to need a shade over 4 to sign all of their rookies.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to get 10.5 for Tre'Davious White on June.
And they're going to sign Yannick Ngakoue.
Okay, that's what I was going to ask. Like, we assume they're going to use that for
They're going to sign a defensive end.
Instead of...
Because they didn't draft one in a position where you would expect a contributor.
Round 5.
They're going to sign this year's Leonard Floyd. Right?
Yep. Yeah, that's probably right. Versus, what, Beckham?
Yeah.
They would rather do the defensive end. I think I'd probably lean that way too. But they're going to do something with that money. And is it impossible that they would say we're good at defensive end, we're good at Epinesa at a big year?
I think it's very unlikely.
So you think it's more likely they're done at receiver than they are at defensive end?
Well, put it this way. Yannick Ngakoue or someone like that could command $7 million, right?
Right.
And there's not a receiver on the market. Beckham is the best idea, but I'm not sure you'd want to pay him that. There's one
for that amount of money.
Yeah, there's one receiver on the market that would command that money, and in defensive end, you might have like 3 or 4 guys. Yeah, I think they'll add Yannick Ngakoue, or who's the other defensive end that's available right now? There's
Jerry Hughes. I saw on that list.
There you go.
Unless you get another DeAndre Hopkins this year, where like, hey, someone becomes available, sometime during the spring or summer, and hey, they got this check coming in June for Trey White. Like maybe that's the best hope?
Maybe. Chris in Buffalo. What's up, Chris? Good morning.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Talking about Coleman, I think a good comp for him is Mike Williams. Big, not the fastest guy. Gets those contested catches. What I like about Coleman is
he played college basketball, and I know he didn't play a ton, but he played at Michigan State. It's not like he was playing at UB, so, you know, very athletic. I think he can be coached up. His get off the line is going to be coached up. He'll get better at that. And a little disappointed that we took a D tackle with our third pick and a running back with our fourth when Troy Franklin was sitting there late in the third round. With a team that struggles with cap space, I don't think a rotational defensive tackle in the third round and a backup running back in the fourth round is really helping us with those rookie contracts. You know, those are guys you can pick up for nothing in free agency.
Yeah. On the Mike Williams cop, thanks, Chris. I don't mind that one. I mean, Coleman would have to get better beating man coverage, but Williams is a guy that's, what, huge?
Plays on the outside.
Sometimes.
Doesn't win with speed, wins with, like,
size and technique, yeah. And he's got great hands. He has had trouble staying healthy. One of the things about Mike Williams is, if you feel like doing this, go for it. Because when he was released by the Chargers as a cap casualty, I immediately went and saw, like, all right, what did he do last year? And his highlights, he played, it's almost like he's a tight end.
Mm-hmm.
He's big, and so many of his throws were the same throws you see to Travis Kelce. Run 7 yards, turn around, catch it, and move up the field. Like, they used him in that way. And I don't know how much Keon Coleman will get some of that. Of course, like, if he's playing over the middle. The Bills will have so many options over the middle of the field for Allen. There's no doubt about that. With Shakir and Kincaid, and now, if Coleman is prowling the middle of the field, his size, you're gonna do that. So that comp's not, I don't mind that comp. Of course, Coleman has to kind of grow into that. He's got to improve a lot at beating man coverage to do that. But that's where coaching a player up comes in. You know, you're not, a lot of these guys, you're not getting perfect prospects. The perfect prospects come at the top of the draft. And from there, what are you supposed to do? Right? This is how the draft goes. If you draft in the top 10, you got near perfect prospects. Everybody else, it's about coaching and player development. Nobody's talking about how the Bears have to develop Adunze or how the Cardinals have to develop Marvin Harrison Jr. Sure, they will, and they'll continue to work to get them to be the best receivers they can be.
Yep.
But the top three guys were said to be pretty much NFL ready to go. Marvin Harrison Jr. was a number one receiver in the NFL last year, quite possibly. So,
but it's what you have. What do you have to develop?
Yeah,
because getting open, beating man coverage, those feel like the things that Coleman, you have to teach him to get better at, are the things that are the hardest to get better at.
Yeah.
Which, again, like, will there be Allen comparisons from now until the start of the season? Probably, because that's what I said about Allen. Was, okay, time to develop. You got to develop accuracy. That's the hardest thing to develop once you make it to the pro level. But he did. So, can Coleman develop getting open? Like, I shouldn't be close to it.
No. Kyle tweets in, I like this. Two questions, Kyle writes in. Do you believe we feel different if the Bills just took Coleman at 28 and or if they took Worthy as the only receiver instead? One at a time. If the Bills took Coleman at 28, would we feel any different? No. I would not feel
any... I feel different about the Kansas City trade.
Yes, that's right. I would feel different about that.
And but about him specifically, I don't think
or
so.
Or the pick. And the other part of it is if they took Worthy as the only receiver. If the Bills took Worthy as their only receiver, I don't think I feel much different. Worthy's a different kind of receiver. There's no doubt about it. There's a lot of speed there. But I would still be kind of in a, you only took one? How'd you only take one? What about the other guy in this offense? And it's, to me, it's key that they stayed away from Worthy and they drafted the biggest guy they could. Maybe not as big as Johnny Wilson out of Florida State, but they drafted a big guy and they signed another relatively big guy in Quintez Cephas. He's not huge, but like you said, like the size there, ball winner is the idea.
Right.
803-0550. Thanks to the tweet, Kyle, and thanks to the call, Chris. Jeremy and Joe, good Tuesday morning. Lindy Ruff coming up at 8 o'clock. We'll chat with the Sabres head coach. He's back. Find it interesting, like, what's the job like now for him, right?
Yeah.
He coached here for 17 years.
Is that the number? It was that long?
Yeah.
He's here in 98, right? 90, well, I got his player profiler up, which starts in 79. He is their coach in 97, 98. And he's done in
2013. 16 years. Yeah, Darcy might have been that. 17 years. Lindy, 16 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, how different is it from coming in every year versus, all right, Let me get a look at this roster. See what we've got here.
Right.
We'll talk about it with Lindy coming up at 8. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a call on WGR.
Closer deep, and the Cubs have a lead. It is 3-1 here in the ninth. Whoa.
Mets had a no-hitter and lost it, and lost the game, too, to the Cubs. So yesterday, Jeremy and Joe, good morning. Yesterday, there was a mock draft for the 2025 draft put out by...
These people.
Hold on. This is the funnier part to me. 33rdteam.com. That's Michael Lombardi, a couple others.
Yeah.
33rdteam. Yeah. The way too early mock for 2025.
At least they're willing to admit it.
Yes, way too early.
Yeah.
This is the second one I saw. The first one I saw had the Bills taking a wide receiver.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It was Warren Sharp.
Yeah.
So this is way too early mock for 2025 for the Bills. 30th pick.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so they've been finishing in the AFC Championship game?
That's right. Huh. 30th pick. That's what we're going to get to. Running back Ollie Gordon out of Oklahoma State. All right, let's put aside the running back
Unbelievable.
Thing. Because the funniest comment I got after seeing this tweet, the funniest comment I saw was, so the Bills make the AFC Championship game and lose to the Chiefs, who are selecting 31st. Someone wrote into me, I need to know Xavier Worthy's stat line for that game.
Oh, man.
Which is...
And Coleman's
that
line.
Is the point. That's the point.
Mm-hmm.
That here you have two teams hopelessly tied to each other. Uh-huh. Or the Bills, I should say, hopelessly tied to the Chiefs. The Chiefs don't care. They're just... The Bills are a fancy roadblock in the way.
Yep.
That beats them in the regular season. And then the postseason, they're like, mm-hmm, thanks. But... I need to see Xavier Worthy's stat line for that game. I thought that was really funny.
Yep.
And drives it home. No matter what, you're tied to that guy now. You're tied to that guy's production. If he blossoms, you have to wear that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they could have gotten him anyway. That's right. But you gave him to him. And the fact that, the weekend... The Monday after the draft, someone sees a mock draft that sees the Bills 30 and the Chiefs 31. By the way, they lose to the Niners in the Super Bowl. And immediately goes to Xavier Worthy's stat line. Great comment. Great illustration. Jeremy and Joe, give us a call. 803-0550, Chet and Bills. And this team in transition, Lindy Ruff at 8 o'clock here on WGR.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.